The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this May Day, Commie Day, 2018, May 1st. Before I go back to the phones, thank you, David, for this email. Mike Adams was on InfoWars today about 2 p.m. Central Time and came up with an elaborate story as to the means or justification against Iran. The accusation is the Obama laundered not only gold but money through the Clinton Foundation and used Mueller to funnel enriched plutonium to Iran. This was so that Iran could develop nuclear weapons arsenal to use against Israel. Jones and Adams was calling Iran the liar, and it seems they're going to run with it on time slot Adams has on that program. My instincts are now telling me that this is the biggest steaming pile of propaganda that can be promoted. Secondly, this is very dangerous to use independent media to advance the Israel's dream or Israelis' dream. I'm going to ask, and I don't blame anybody for not answering. I believe InfoWars is taking heat from RBN listeners as well as being a full participant in a dishonest scam under the auspices of Free Press. InfoWars has become a propaganda agent. Shame for leading us in that direction. Thank you, David, for that email. Jeff in Georgia. Hello, Jeff.
John, good to talk to you.
How you doing?
You know, I've always thought that the two big reasons Kennedy was assassinated was trying to stop Israel from getting a nuclear bomb. And the other thing was I believe Israel had to steal nuclear material in order to have a nuclear bomb. They claimed that they had found nuclear material in their homeland. I don't believe that's true. I believe that the record will show that they stole from NUMEC up in Pittsburgh from Shapiro, who was a devout Zionist. They stole upwards to 700 pounds of U-235 plutonium, which was enough for at least 15 A-bombs. I wonder, John, and there's a guy that, you know, named Grant Smith, wrote a book, Divert. He goes around the country, and he wasn't the first guy that came up with this. This was known by writers for 40 years, for many, many years, okay, that there was uranium being stolen out of Pittsburgh. This was known, I think, John McCone, who Kennedy had appointed as CIA director, had known this, and he said, Johnson, don't listen. He resigned in 65. And I believe the next CIA director also knew about it. But I want to ask this. Israel, I'll go to my grave, believing they stole nuclear material from our country, the most dangerous substance on Earth, can be used for weapons of mass destruction. They build A-bombs over there. They killed our president to do it. History book says Oswald did it. That's fine. I want to know this. Why isn't one congressman out of 535, one person in Congress, are they all bought out? Nobody will stand up and say, did Israel steal nuclear material from our country to get their A-bomb? And what's with that?
Well, they didn't get it from the Russians, that's for sure. So that's one thing that Russia can't be blamed for. But there are several points here. One, Kennedy made a strategic move against the Federal Reserve. No nukes for Israel. You're right about that. He was not about to let Israel have any nuclear weapons. He was going to spread the CIA to the four winds, as he said, which would have meant there went the working basis for the project for a new American century to come later, and the CIA to depose and start fights in these respective countries that we're looking at right now that is nothing more than a churning, it's just a bunch of burning funk right now. And by the way, short term back then, Kennedy was going to pull the advisors out of Vietnam. It was the CIA that screwed him on the supposed invasion of Cuba. And, yeah, there's many different reasons, John, why they didn't want Kennedy around.
If they stole nuclear material, why are not anybody in Congress allowed to talk about it? Because it's at the heart of what we're dealing with today, and we might be dealing with the World War III around the corner. I want to prevent it. You want to prevent it. I'm a free man, and I don't know why that cannot be discussed publicly and educate the American people. The 96% of the press, which is owned by the Jewish cartel, you know this. I mean, I could be an announcer. I could be telling the news on that 96% media, but I'm only allowed to tell their side of the story. We're down to 4% of the free press in this country, the so-called freest country in the world. Why isn't in the halls of Congress redress of what they did in the 60s? Why is no congressman talking about it? Are they all bought out?
Well, and I have a tendency to believe this because we saw the actions back in 2008. We saw the scurrilous bankers, and who are they owned by? The World Banks, the architects of the global world order. You saw what happened. You got to give us $700 billion right now, or the banks are going to collapse and the economy will collapse. Well, I think that's been put on steroids. I think they're constantly reminded, if you do not play ball, we'll collapse your economy. Which they can damn near overnight. Entanglements, not just in foreign policy, getting messed up with other countries and doing their bidding or operating on their lies or making war on another country on their behalf is bad enough. But these people, they have an agenda and they're going to complete it. And, in this country, I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand across the board that every damn time that some talking head on the TV screen is just repeating a script that's been handed to them from somebody else, from a higher up. They're just the talking heads, the sock puppets. This deep state we're talking about is your new world order and all their operating minions. And I think it's not about blackmail. I think they've been told, you keep screwing around, you say the wrong word, we'll just collapse your economy. What congressman or senator is going to maintain a seat in a collapsed country? People are going to be pissed and they're going to want their pound of flesh and their bucket of blood, and they'll rout all of them out.
John, you're a white Christian, and so am I. If we are in bed with the devil, okay, we're definitely bound for hell. And I tell you, we have been deceived. We've been deceived by these people. I was once Christian Zionist. I was fervently. They could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I never understood the truth.
Well, Jeff, let me ask you an obvious question. Back then, when you were drinking the Kool-Aid, did you understand that Israel and what they practice over there, they don't recognize? How can we have Judeo-Christendom in this planet if the Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ? And the Christian part of the story is that, well, Jesus was the Son of God, and you know the story. How did you mesh that in your mind, or didn't you even know about it?
Well, I mean, they were the chosen people, John. Jesus was a Jew.
Yeah, he so was? Okay. I thought he was a Nazarene.
Well, you know, in my religion, he was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
He was king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He was king of kings.
So wait a minute. The king of the Jews don't recognize their king then, right?
Absolutely, they did not.
There's something fundamentally wrong there, and everybody's alarm clock should be going off right now.
Yes, but I want to say this, because I'm probably viewed by some as the greatest anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic in the world. I'm not. For the sake of world peace, I would let the 6 or 8 or 10 million Jews in the Middle East come here. I would hold my nose because they have to reform their religion. The Old Testament, I'm a Christian.
Jeff, you're going to reform the people that have been dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight? You're going to open the door and invite them here?
God. No, John, they would have to reform.
Oh.
Hey, John, I want to say this. Islam is a danger to the world. Don't ever believe it isn't, because...
Jeff... Let's back up here. Why is Islam, prior to us messing with them in the Middle East, what was the threat to us from the Islamic State?
Well, what year? I mean, let's go back to 732. Let's go back to 711. Let's go back to the 1600s when they tried to conquer Austria. Let's go back to Old Turkey, which was the heart of Christianity. Let's go back to the hundreds and thousands of bishops, of Catholic bishops, that were in North Africa when Christianity flourished. Islam is built upon Muhammad. We know he lived, and he was a genocidal killer. I mean, there may be some good tenets of Islam. I don't doubt that. I like a lot of Islamic people. They're all over the place. But Islam was built on the back of a genocidal killer. I mean, he led armies. And their armies marched, and it was adopt or die.
I wonder who's killed more, United States or Islam, in all of those years you mentioned.
Well,
I wonder.
There is no question that we have been deceived about many tenets of Western civilization. There's no question. But we always have to reform. This is our homeland. This is our homeland, this is our future, your children, my children, your grandchildren, and we have to throw out Zionism completely. And I believe we have to have an America-centric foreign policy. We have to look out our own country, and if we look out outside of our borders, look out to our neighbors. And we have to get out of the rest of the world, because I tell you something, we could be defeated. I'm in the Department of Defense, and I say this to everybody. I say this at work. I say this loudly, and I don't care if the colonel hears it. We can be defeated easily. 40% of our country is third world, and the IQ of this nation is actually probably on the downslide. China could drop 100 A-bombs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could drop 100 A-bombs on this country, and we would dissolve. We would kill each other because the media has not nurtured ethnic racial relations. They've thrown gasoline on them, John.
No, I understand. Look, Jeff, you're covering centuries and you're making all kinds of statements and you're pointing stuff out. And what I'm saying to you is, you know of Israel's plan for greater Israel, almost all of Syria's land, more than half of Iraq. They want to expand. There's a reason why a two-state solution and the murdering of the Palestinians is continued, because there is to be no two-state solution. And isn't it ironic, Jeff, and let me talk here, okay?
I'm sorry, let me talk.
I have watched this. Who does this benefit? Setting Islam against the United States and other countries. Who does that benefit? Does that not benefit Israel? Now, you can talk about 700, 100 B.C. or 700 A.D. or whatever. I understand a lot of that history. But this is here and now. We've killed over 4 million people. You're with the Pentagon? Jeff, we've killed over 4 million people in the Middle East. Why exactly did we do that? Because they were a threat to the United States? That we had Islamic jihadists running all over the planet? That they just wanted to cut our heads off? Come on, Jeff.
Well, no, I'm not arguing with you that right now the biggest threat is the Jewish banking power, because they have the apparatus. They're running Western civilization. But you know, Islam doesn't belong in this country, John. I mean, that's another subject for another day. I mean, you know, they don't. We cannot live side by side. They'll win.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I'm from Michigan. And in Dearborn, the highest population of Arabs of any place outside of the Middle East. And the funny thing about this was there was a large percentage of rich Jews living right down Southfield Freeway, about 20 miles to the north. And I lived about 20 miles west of Dearborn. You know what? I could go to Dearborn, Michigan. I could go anywhere, do anything that I wanted to, and I never felt any malevolence or threat. These people were happy as pigs in a blanket, so to speak, to just be able to live, do business, talk to people. They could speak English very well, and they could converse in their own language. My point was, there was never any problem. The problem is that there's this support now of bringing large groups of people, and I don't give a damn if they're Arabs, I don't care if they're Mexicans, I don't care if they're Chinese, I don't care what they are, that somehow that they can come into this country, set up shop, create their own little kingdom within inside of our country. That is wrong. They don't assimilate. They come here to do business or to do whatever, but they have this conclave that they don't want diluted. If you come to this country, you come to this country for a reason, not to create your own. But look what we've done to the Middle East. 4 million plus of those dead. And then there's a lot of people trying to scramble to get the hell out of there because they're tired of watching their loved ones, their countries being decimated. Their lives for years turned into a living hell. I don't blame them for wanting to get out. What I do blame them is to make their living situation, their lives, their countries intolerable in the Middle East. What the hell did they think was going to happen? This is all BS.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you think because who do you think dragged us into the Middle East? Do you think it was our leaders in this country, or do you think it was Jewish power?
It was both. They had to have the cooperation of both in order to pull this one off.
So it was kind of like Christian Zionism and Jewish power.
I'm not even relating this to a religion. These are a bunch of madcap, asshat, military complex, greedy individuals, bankers buying the whole thing and supporting and making money off the whole deal. I'm not even going to lay down a religious tie to this. Because that's what they want you to believe. That's what they want me to believe.
But John, you agree the Middle East is in a disastrous state.
And how did it get that way, Jeff?
But let me ask you something. Do you think that we have any culpability in what we've done to Europe? Because you have these people flooding into Europe, and many of them coming out of the Middle East, and now they're destabilizing, those nations.
Jeff, and again, let me go back to us being involved in the Middle East in the first place. We're going on the 17th year of blowing the crap out of these people. They have presented no threat to us. Now all of a sudden they do, because they're tired of getting murdered off. Jeff,
I guess all I'm saying is,
I got to let you go. I appreciate your call, Jeff.
All right, thank you.
All right.
What goes up must come down.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Didn't I have more callers up there? John in Michigan. Go ahead, John. Hello, John.
Well, your last caller was pretty good, John.
Well, he said he worked for the Pentagon. I didn't ask him what the hell he did, but, you know, there's this, the religious ties keep being brought into this with people that have no ties to anything except themselves.
Well, I believe that he might have been referring to the radical Islamic people.
You mean the ones we create and we fund to go topple the governments, cause dissent within the country, like Libya?
All of the above.
Yeah,
just some of their lifestyles don't necessarily assimilate to ours, and they don't plan on it. And you can just do some research on Gulen. He's in Pennsylvania. He was in Turkey. I think he came from Turkey, but he's developing all these charter schools around the country and radicalizing the people in them and funded by our tax dollars. So that's one way we can see what's taking place with that group of people. But I know where you're from in Michigan, and I was around Dearborn too, and a lot of them were Chaldeans that came in there.
Yeah.
When I think you live there and I live down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different, it was a whole different culture then.
It was. There were bad elements within any group, and the Chaldeans were people of a different stripe. But most of the people,
right.
most of the people in Dearborn, they were of Arab descent. Never had any problems ever.
I was just there a couple of falls ago. And Ford Motor Company has their headquarters there, and that town is immaculate.
Yeah,
they really put a lot of money into maintaining, and the people that live there do the same thing with their homes. They may not speak your language, but they did assimilate to some degree. But I wanted to bring up this information I learned on your show way back about who the people in Israel are, and according to the Balfour Declaration, I don't know how many people have ever heard of that, but it was back in the early 1900s, and if you just look up Benjamin Friedman and the Balfour Declaration, the Ashkenazis from Western Europe were the people that were given Israel by the Rothschilds, and I believe that that is where you can take it from, the Ashkenazis were not really from that indigenous area. There's Sephardic people and then the Ashkenazis. And the word Jew was not even used. I believe that was a Zionist term. And in the Balfour Declaration, Benjamin Friedman explains that. So understanding a little bit more of the history of that area. And they did go in and they did slaughter Palestinians. The Palestinians lived there for thousands of years with the Jewish people, or Hebrews that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like people living in Michigan, Ohio, or Indiana. They all melded together until the Rothschilds brought in these people from Western Europe and claimed to be their homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made a deal with England to go in and to stir up trouble in Germany so that we would get into World War II.
And John, what I find rather fascinating is if you ever hear mention on the mainstream media in this country, it's, the housing projects the Israelis are doing. They never, ever, you've seen the land mass in 1948, what was then Israel, versus what is now Israel, versus what used to be Palestine. They never speak of this. And this slaughter has been going on for years, but they don't mention it. And they certainly don't want to mention the plight of the Palestinians or give that any credence whatsoever, because that would be speaking against the Israelis that never tell any lies, because you know what? They're God's chosen people, and God's chosen people wouldn't lie. You know, this is why I get so upset about this, everybody wanting to tie this to a religion. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with anybody's belief. They want to make you believe that it does. But you're looking at the global order of things and land grabs and money grabs and power. This doesn't have anything to do with any religious teachings. They try to claim that it is.
Well, the people that run Israel are not religious at all. Jack Bernstein and his great story back in the 80s, I explained that he American Jew and Marxist Israel, and there are two sects there, the Sephardics and the Ashkenazis. And the Sephardic people are considered Jewish or Hebrews or indigenous to that area, but they're treated like second-class citizens. And the purpose of going to Syria, another thing I heard too, is that Israel wants a pipeline through Syria, and so does Iran, but or the South. I'll wait for the music. I hear the music.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Hang on.
Oh.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me on what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy.
Well, my wife back. Returns from John, you had something else.
Yes, John, I just wanted to ask, do Syria and Iran and Russia, they don't deal with the world bankers, is that correct?
That is correct.
So I wonder why they're the boogeyman. So it makes a lot of sense. If you don't play with the right guys, you're not going to be part of the game.
Well, and Rockefeller had his hand in creating Israel. What does that tell you?
Oh, well, yeah, well, he's just a surrogate of the Rothschild family, and they have their little bitty hands in everything, and including owning all of California's water and power sources, and supposedly most power companies throughout this country, too. So,
you know, and I don't think this has anything to do with blackmail outside of the fact that the World Banks and all their little minions operating in every industrialized country, I don't think there's any blackmail of, you know, politicians doing things with little children. Yeah, that might be a small part of it, but I think it's the money blackmail. I think they're being told, you either play along with us or we'll smash your economies.
No, that's most likely. That wasn't that one gentleman was the economic assassin, wrote a book.
Yeah, the economic hitman. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It comes down to basic things, and most people are clueless when they're exposed to it, it just like deer in the headlights. But God bless you, John, and continue on.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. Yeah, I've said this for years. I've been saying this for 26 years. If people want a chance of peace and freedom and be left alone in this world, dump your funny money people. Dump them. Get rid of them. This has been the basis of their global order of things for all of these years. Wow. Rick in Arizona. Hello, Rick.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Imagine that, John. Somebody listening to RBN would have no problem bringing 7 million Jews from Israel over here. Imagine that. Listening to RBN. Hey, you know what? I think Trump's going to stick with the Iran deal. But the people around Trump, they want to get their hands on that $160 billion that was frozen years ago, which is being slowly released as they abide by the deal. If they can throw the deal and convince Trump to throw the deal, these Jews want to get their hands on that money, okay? I think that, for the most part, the whole Iran thing, as far as going to war with them, they're playing this for a bunch of...
You're breaking up on me, Rick. I'm only catching half of what you're saying. Okay, it's gone from bad to worse. Okay, is he gone totally now? All right, sorry, Rick. Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
See, the problem is, to sum it up, we went from a constitutional republic, now we have a parasitical oligarchy. And the problem is the parasites in the oligarchy have unlimited money to buy anyone and buy any group, including the churches. See? That's why we've gone so wrong. You got to cut their money off. And they're nothing but parasites. They're eating our subsistence out.
And again, it just goes right back to my point about the banks. You have dishonest people doing nasty things when they stand to make a profit. If you got an honest money system that you can't cheat, how can they get over on people? How can banks rule anybody or any country?
Exactly. Exactly. But they're a bunch of parasites.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other caller, he's still got a little of his Christian Zionism in him. He thinks, oh, you know, all the Jews all changed. They're not really Jews. They're offspring of Cain. He's got to see who that. They're not going to change. That's all part of that church. They think, in the end, we're all going to come together and sing Kumbaya.
Well, and that's look, Laura. When he mentioned Pentagon, I saw it coming.
Right.
You know, let's
right.
dispensation more for the Jews, and yeah, the other people are all bad.
And the problem is with Trump, what Trump's problem is, not only is he surrounded himself with Goldman Sachs people, but all these so-called ministers that he surrounded himself with, Paula, somebody, and Jeffers, and all that, they're all rapture cultists, and they're all into the Zionism, you know, all for Israel. And then Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, I saw a commercial he did. He's got a book out, Unholy Alliance, and he's telling college kids, be proud to call yourself a Zionist. Be proud to call yourself a Zionist. But poor Trump, he's surrounded by these people. I wish he'd take people like Corey Lewandowski back or some other people like that that can tell him what we people out here are actually feeling and thinking. And he's listening to all these people.
Well, you,
and they're telling him the wrong thing.
Yeah, but Laura, you can't just excuse it. It's Trump's decision to bring these people in, and if he's that ill-prepared and he doesn't know who he's allowing into his inner circle, into his cabinet, well, shame on him.
You know, like the other day they were in Washington, Washington, Michigan, you know, where it was Romeo, really. But anyway, the people need to, instead of chanting USA, they need to start chanting no wars for Israel. I'd love to see people stand up and go, no wars for Israel. And maybe that would get through to Trump.
You know, I think we would have relative peace to rebuild what has been lost if we do three things. Tell Israel to go fly a kite.
Right.
break up this money cabal, break that up, and take the United Nations and get them the hell off of American soil. You do those three things. We got a chance for peace and prosperity using our own labors, our own minds, and our own abilities. We can return this country to its former glory, if it was ever glorious.
Right. Talk about media, too. James Lloyd at Christian Media,
yeah. He
has a history report. He did one last week. It was excellent. It was about how the media withheld from the American people that 1932-33, everything that Stalin did, starving 4 million people, they kept it from the American people. And he names names in there. I wish you could get it and play a clip from it because the guy did a great job.
Let me back you up here a little bit. James Lloyd was never a fan of RBN or yours truly. Going back years, Laura.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I was the spawn of the devil at one point.
Well, you know, he's not for Israel. He's not in for rapture and all that.
Well, just be careful. I'm just saying to you, Laura, just be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call, dear. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Sovereign Man. Hello, Sovereign Man. How you doing?
Good evening, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
There's an article at the Daily Beast. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's Republican lawmaker recognize sovereign citizens or pay a $10,000 fine. New Hampshire politician wants a law protecting sovereign citizens. I'm going to have to call this guy up and straighten him out. But I think it's a gallant effort, though.
All right, I'm not familiar with the subject matter you're speaking of.
Yeah, well, it's a link. You can ask Mike or to go look it up, or you can look it up later. There is a link in the chat room. I'll put it back in the. I'll repost it in the chat room. Somebody posted it earlier. That's nationalintelreport.chattango.com. Hey, John, have you ever looked up the Wikipedia entry for Republic Broadcasting?
Yeah, I did.
It's interesting. It can be amended. You know that, right?
Yeah, and I don't get on the Wikipedia. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I stay away from this. We have our own form of communications. It's called radio, and it's pretty damned effective.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I'm just saying, you know, if you can actually go in there and amend that and say, you know, make it correct. You know,
they've got about 75% of it correct, and I've seen it a couple of times. I've read it a couple of times to see if there were any additions, any updates, and it's been static that way for several years now.
Yeah. I remember James Lloyd. He was doing the Prophecy Club circuit a while back, and that was back when I was listening to Bill Cooper on WWCR, right? That was back before the internet wasn't even around yet, John. You remember those days, don't you?
I was on shortwave for a number of years. I remember it well.
Yeah, I think he did a dissertation called Shortwave Wars. I don't know if you ever seen that.
Yeah, years ago I read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He absolutely hated RBN.
Well, I mean, some people are biased when they're trying to promote their own thing. You know, what can you say? I pray for him. I mean, he seemed like a nice guy when I met him.
All right. Sovereign Man, I've got that story pulled up. I will cover that here. And I thank you.
Before I forget, this guy, do you remember John Lamb? He was the videographer that was covering and putting the YouTubes up for the Bundys. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, barely.
Well, he was broadsided by a semi, and he should not have lived. I don't know if it was a conspiracy to do away with him, but he is in critical condition. He's really banged up real bad. we put together a chat room. It's called John Lamb's Prayer Room. There's some images in there from his wife off of Facebook, if you don't go to Facebook. And, you know, just keep him in your prayers. You know,
all right.
He's looking at 6 to 12 months recovery, if he recovers.
If he recovers.
Yeah, by all means, he shouldn't be alive. It's a miracle he's still alive, John. If you saw his truck, it took him 45 minutes to cut him out of his truck. Anyway, blessings to you, John.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for your call. By the way, I looked at that. I'll post that up on the website, Sovereign Man. I wanted to get into this because I pulled the story and had it posted today. And this is from another individual with a different set of eyes looking at the Bundy Ranch case. And basically, he just says there is a very good reason why the Westerners in this country distrust Washington. And there's stuff in here that I wasn't even aware of. The Justice Department was caught in January in another high-profile travesty of due process. On December 20th, federal judge Gloria Navarro declared a mistrial in the case against Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy and others after prosecutors were caught withholding massive amounts of evidence undermining federal charges. 2 weeks later, she dismissed all charges against the Bundys and his sons. Navarro slammed the FBI and the Justice Department prosecutors for outrageous, her words, not mine, abuses and flagrant misconduct. Her words, not mine. Navarro also condemned the grossly shocking withholding of evidence from defense counsel in a case that could have landed the Bundys in prison for the rest of their lives. Cliven Bundy, 71-year-old Nevada rancher, and his sons were involved in an armed standoff with the Bureau of Land Management beginning in 2014, stemming from decades of unpaid cattle grazing fees and restrictions. Let me make a correction on that. He owed him $6,000, not millions. The Bundys have long claimed the feds were on a vendetta against them, and 3,300 pages of documents the Justice Department wrongfully concealed from their lawyers provided smoking guns that clinched their case. A whistle-blowing memo by the BLM chief investigator Larry Wooten charged that the BLM chose the most intrusive, oppressive, large-scale, and militaristic trespass and seizure possible against Bundy. He also cited a widespread pattern of bad judgment, lack of discipline, incredible bias, unprofessionalism, and misconduct, as well as likely policy, ethical, and legal violations by BLM officials in the case. BLM agent even bragged about roughing up Dave Bundy, that being Cliven's son, grinding his face in the ground, and Dave Bundy having bits of gravel stuck in his face while he was videotaping federal agents. As the Oregonian noted, Wooten said he learned from other agency supervisors that the lead BLM agent in the case had a kill book as a trophy, in which he essentially bragged about getting three individuals in Utah to commit suicide following a joint FBI-BLM investigation into alleged trafficking of stolen artifacts. Wooten also stated that anti-Mormon prejudice pervaded BLM crackdown. After Wooten complained of his superiors about the agency's abuses, he was taken off the case, and his computer hard drives, emails, and text messages were all confiscated. In his whistleblowing memo, Wooten declared, "These items were taken because they contained significant evidence of misconduct and items that will potentially embarrass BLM law enforcement supervision. I am convinced that I was removed to prevent the ethical and proper further disclosure of severe misconduct." The feds charged the Bundys with conspiracy against the government in large part because the ranchers summoned militia to defend them after they claimed the FBI snipers had surrounded their ranch. Justice Department lawyers scoffed at this claim in prior trials involving the standoff, but the belatedly released documents confirmed that snipers were in place prior to the Bundys' call for help. And that is called an overwatch or overlookers. These are the snipers. The FBI spent 3 years covering up or lying about the role of their snipers in the 2014 standoff. The feds also belatedly turned over multiple threat assessments that revealed that the Bundys were not violent or dangerous, including an FBI analysis that concluded that the BLM was trying to provoke a conflict with the Bundys. As an analysis in the left-leaning Intercept observed, federal missteps fueled long-standing perceptions among the right-wing groups and militias that the federal government is an underhanded institution that will stop at nothing to crush the little guy and cover up its own misdeeds. As the case collapsed, the Fed seemed to succeed most in lending support to the various conspiracies the Bundy family and their supporters believed to be true, that a land-hungry, out-of-control federal government was victimizing Western ranchers. Stephen Meir, the lead attorney, federal attorney, cast the 2014 standoff as an armed uprising, not a peaceful protest over federal control of vast stretches of land in the U.S. West. As the Bundys claim, the Associated Press reported, Meir's opening statement of the trial stressed that the case centered on the need to respect the rule of law, the Oregonian noted, but the government itself was somehow exempted from both the law and the Constitution in its crusade against the Bundys. Or Davidians, or give it a name, give it a date, give it a place. As their case began unraveling, federal prosecutors insisted that regardless of the withholding of evidence, the judge must prohibit the Bundys from claiming the feds provoked the confrontation or that the Bundys acted in self-defense. Meir declared this in court. The court needs to put a stop to these illegal theories and defenses in order for the government to receive a fair trial. The government, too, is entitled to a fair trial. Wow. Ruby Ridge, remember that one? But fair trials are the last thing the high-profile federal agents or their federal targets, such as the Bundys, are likely to receive. In the early 90s, the federal government decided to take down Randy Weaver, an outspoken white separatist living in a mountaintop in northern Idaho. After Weaver was entrapped by a federal agent, remember that one? Oh, can you please whack the barrel off of this shotgun? You know, yeah, they set him up. Weaver didn't want to do it. They kept going after him repeatedly. Please, he just did it just to get rid of him. So that was the whole thing. It was a setup by the FBI and their agents to do what? To have a hook to go in there and shoot the guy. Wow. The U.S. Marshals trespassed on his land, killed his son. An FBI sniper killed his wife, Vicky. The Justice Department claimed that Weaver conspired to have an armed confrontation with the government. The feds claimed that his moving from Iowa to an area near the Canadian border in 1983 was part of a plot. After a jury found Weaver not guilty on all major charges, federal judge Edward Lodge issued a lengthy catalog of the Justice Department and the FBI's misconduct and fabrication of evidence in the case. A top FBI official was later sent to prison for destroying key evidence in the case. When Boundary County, Idaho, sought in 1998 to prosecute the FBI sniper who killed Vicki Weaver, the Clinton administration torpedoed their lawsuit by invoking a supremacy clause of the Constitution, which blocks local and state governments from challenging federal power. Seth Waxman, the Solicitor General of the United States, absolved the FBI agent because of federal law enforcement officials are privileged to do what would otherwise be unlawful if done by a private citizen. Federal Judge Alex Kozinski was dumbfounded by Waxman's claim, asking, if the Constitution does not provide limitations for federal agents and their actions, then what does? Waxman didn't have a good answer for that, but despite Kozinski's eloquent dissent, the federal appeals court rode to the rescue of the FBI killer. Now, thanks in part to Ruby Ridge, many of the heavily armed activists who flocked to Nevada and that the ranch venue feared that the FBI snipers had a license to kill the Bundys. After the case was thrown out of court, Ammon Bundy told a television interviewer, "They basically came to kill our family. They surrounded us with snipers, and they wanted to lie about it all like none of it ever happened. And they were caught." The mission of the federal snipers around the ranch was unclear, but it was understandable that their targets did not assume that they had benign intent. And the years of the federal falsehoods after the confrontation ended did nothing to build confidence. The Justice Department legal strategy in the Bundy case may have also been shaped by the 1993 drubbing it took in the hands of the Idaho jury that was appalled at a federal conduct at Ruby Ridge. A Justice Department brief in the Bundy case submitted days before the judge declared a mistrial showed that prosecutors feared jurors passing judgment on the federal conduct. Prosecutors dreaded jury nullification. Not guilty verdicts were due to government abuse. Their brief stressed that jury nullification is illegal, but the Founding Fathers did not think so. That's what the Justice Department told the judge. To the extent of the defendants seek to offer evidence of surveillance, cameras, uniforms, numbers of officers, weapons carried, and training the officers received, none of that is relevant to show excessive force or a reason to assault officers. This type of evidence only amounts to nullification arguments, putting the victims, federal officials and prosecutors, there's the victims, in the case in the position of having to justify their every move when no force was used. The defendant's intention to state that they believe they had a good reason for their conduct is not admissible evidence. It is jury nullification. The specter of enraged jurors spurred prosecutors to withhold key evidence from both judge and the defense counsel. They feared jury nullification. They got judge nullification, as one online commenter quipped. Now, the dismissal of charges was only the latest Justice Department disaster in a series of clashes involving the Bundy ranchers. Last August, a Nevada jury, in what the Associated Press labeled a stunning setback to federal prosecutors, found four supporters of Clive and Bundy not guilty for their role in the 2014 confrontation. And even though Judge Navarro had acceding to prosecutors' demands, muzzled defendants, and prohibited them from invoking their constitutional rights, jurors scorned federal claims that the men were part of a militia conspiracy against the government. The feds lost even though they had gone to bizarre lengths to get the defendants. The FBI even created a fake documentary film company which used false pretenses to interview key participants in the standoff. Attorney General Jeff Sessions ordered a formal investigation into how the Justice Department went awry in Nevada. If the Trump administration cannot rein in renegade federal prosecutors, the president should cease and desist any and all claptrap about draining the swamp. By the way, on tomorrow's program, you're not going to want to miss this one. There's a guy out in Clark County, Nevada, that's running for sheriff. His name is Gordon Martinez, and he knows where the bodies are buried. He's doing rather well in his campaign, by the way. He had to skip the day. I actually had him scheduled for day. He called me last night. He said, look, there's a political thing I got to be there at. I don't want to look like I'm running away from these guys. And I said, no, run at them, not away from them. He'll be with us tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, first hour. I thank you for being here today. Appreciate it. Please, folks, support this network. We must survive. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a commander lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.